Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronca.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. One of the difficult and frustrating transitions that we can experience in life is when we are trying to navigate through the loss of a career or even the transition of changing your career. And I know there are a lot of people who are at this very moment walking in this frustrating season, and you are wanting direction, you're longing for answers, you want a breakthrough, and you want a new beginning. That's why I'm so excited to share with you today my guest, George C. Murray. George is a chief operating officer as well as a business and job transition coach. George is both the award-winning author of Hired, Cut Your Career Search Time in Half, and his other book, Ignite, Engage, Retain. He is also a global operations and supply professional with over 25 years experience in global manufacturing. George is also a U.S. Army veteran who served in the 101st Airborne Division and Desert Shield Storm. His book, Hired, is based on his own experience when he found himself facing two job transitions in less than 3 years. From both his military training and operations background, he has learned that career transition also has a process. The process he has created has reduced his search time by 50% each time, with most recently taking 35 days from the time he left his last role to getting 3 offers. Welcome, George, to the Transition Podcast. And first, before we move forward, I want to also thank you for your service to our country. I value, and I know all my listeners do, appreciate what you have done and how you've served us so well.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm very humbled to be a part of the show today.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here, because especially with what's going on in the world today, there's so many people that have either lost their jobs, they're trying to transition, you know, into a new space, and it's very frustrating. And I was so impressed when I read what you do to help people with their careers. It's outstanding. And I just know they need to hear from you and what it is that you do, what you offer, and how you actually walk them through this process. I love the quote that I saw on one of your sites: the windshield is larger than the review mirror for a reason. Move forward and get hired. And so you are all about, you know, helping people get hired. So share with us your story and how you came to this place. And we're going to eventually get to hear about how you help others.
Sure. As a matter of fact, in my first career transition, like most professionals, I was probably mid-40s. And in the first couple of months, unemployment rate back in 2016 was 4.3%. So I felt that, hey, you know, I'm going to find another job relatively quickly, and found out 13 months later that it wasn't going to be as fast as I thought it was. But the whole experience myself was is just understanding the process. Like a military guy in an operations, there always is a process. And I found that there's a lot of great books out there about networking, how to interview, but nothing that really tells from the time that you left to the time that you land, what are the things that you need to consider? And more importantly, how do I keep my energy, enthusiasm, positive attitude all throughout this process?
Oh, it's so true. And I agree 100% with you, because, you know, I'm a transition life coach as well. I don't focus on careers. I focus on other transitions in life. But it's the same idea, the same thing that you said. There's a lot in the middle. From where you currently are to your next step, there's a lot to process, and it's so important not to push through too soon, but it can also be frustrating while you're waiting.
Oh, absolutely. I think I reference it that it's a roller coaster ride that you're more down than you are up.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. So, okay, so obviously you must have a process. of what you do to help people. In fact, I have a testimonial. I happened to read one of the testimonials of a client of yours where she basically had sent out 500 resumes and never got one interview, not one. And she was feeling really defeated, and you connected with her, helped her through the process, and she found her dream job within 3 weeks. Oh, so unpack that for us. How did you take her from complete, like, this is not working, to success and finding her dream job?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think a lot of people use an old process that doesn't work for them anymore. You know, submitting resumes doesn't work. And I see, and I'm sure you've read a lot on LinkedIn in the last 6 to 8 weeks with all this tech firms layoffs, is people just go back to what they know. Well, what they know is not working for them. And they become frustrated and irritated. And even though each day feels like a month, you know, before you know it, 3 months go by and you have very little to show for it. So I tell people is that you want to make sure that you're spending your time and effort that's going to move you forward faster. And it's been proven that people secure jobs 1% of the time through submitting a resume. That's like rolling the dice.
Wow.
The national average of securing a job through networking is 84%. So where should you be spending majority of your time? Whether you're a professional or you're an executive, you should be spending more of your time in networking. And a lot of us don't know the process the first time. So that's, I think, one of the old fears to overcome is, even as an introvert as I was back in 2016, I had to find the shallow end of the pool to wade in before I could get into the deep end. Because I'm sure both of our generations, the way we were taught to swim was our parents picked us up and dropped us in the deep end. Well, introverts won't do that.
No, not at all.
So one of the things is really to first understand where you are financially, personally, professionally, et cetera. And I would say the last 3 years have given a lot of reflection for folks to say, either A, I'm not on the road that I want to be on going forward, or I have to at least adjust my roadmap. And so one of the things I try to identify is simply where are you at, and then where you want to be. It's kind of my why. You know, Simon Sinek, a great author, mm-hmm. You know, find your why.
Yes.
My why is helping people understand where they are and where they want to be and create the roadmap for them. And so for this individual who was out for a considerable amount of time, you know, we reprioritized their schedule. We developed kind of the current situation of where we're at, and more importantly, where we need to be. You know, what's my financial roadmap? Do I have another 3 months left before I'm really going to be struggling to find work? Because again, you don't want to come off desperate when you're interviewing and networking. Then we develop kind of the networking roadmap, I tell people. And part of that networking roadmap is developing your day in the life. You know, you've left a structured life if you've gotten reduced in workforce or laid off on Friday. If you don't recreate that, again, before you know it, a couple of months go by and you have little to show for it. So we really identify the whole day, the week, and the month, and what's going to be most important for my success to land the next role. And like a business, and you are the CEO of You Incorporated, you need to have metrics, and you also need to have a feedback system, as well as a private board of advisors that help guide you and hold you accountable in this whole process.
I really like the idea that you give a roadmap, because you feel lost, you know, a lack of direction. You know, that's part of transition. And so let me ask you, I think once you either lose a job or walk away from a job, choosing to change careers, what is the mindset, you know, that what is the mindset of the people that you're engaging with? Are they defeated, depressed? Are they hopeful? Have they lost courage? Like, and I'm sure it's probably a little bit of all of that.
You're absolutely right on the last response. It's all the above. First and foremost, it's really trying to understand in what I call the three stages of job transition, right? There's the lost stage. Where am I? What am I going to do? Who do I tell? When do I tell? You know, et cetera. Once we move into out of that, and I call it kind of the La Brea tar pit of the three stages, because you're going to be back there again through this whole process. Most importantly is to know when and then what to do to get yourself out of that immediately. Then the second stage is developing the confidence stage, right? Which I tell is the roadmap, your day in the life, all those things that you're working. And then more importantly, every couple of weeks, you're evaluating what's working for me, what's not working for me, maybe some brainstorming ideas like maybe cold calling. And then finally, it's getting into the final stage that you're prepared to land your next role. You're working all your metrics and you're evaluating and, you know what to do when these obstacles, like, for example, I had a client that I was working with who was in three final rounds and felt that at least two of them, they were going to get job offers. And here's the thing. I don't think companies in HR really kind of have the heart anymore because they still give out the thanks but no thanks letters on Fridays, right? So people have this whole dwelling over the weekend of now I got to get it all back into, you know, the process. But the thing is that, okay, when that happens, what do I need to do? How do I bring my personal board of advisors to my rescue so that on Monday I can hit it hard again and I'm starting, you know, I know maybe a little bit more than square one, but how do I get back to that third stage and final stage so I'm proactive and I'm close to landing the role? And to your earlier comment with that individual, just changing that whole structure, mindset, identifying what I would consider their top 50 influential connectors and reaching out to them and building what I call a community of cheerleaders in the workplace. That was all the success that that person needed to turn around and get that offer.
I love that. That's brilliant. So one of the things that you have, and I love that you give your clients action steps and the fact that you encourage them to have structure and to continue to engage, because I think that's so critical, because I think nothing's worse when you get up and you have this whole day and you don't have the structure, you miss the routine. So keeping your clients in some sort of routine that they're building towards their future, I think is really healthy. And I noticed you have an acronym using the word unemployed, that you give action steps to your clients. So do you want to share some of those with us?
Yes. Again, it's all mindset, you know, in job transition. And as long, the longer you go, you question your abilities, your capabilities, the willingness for employers to see your value, all those things. So the unemployed nomenclature that I just posted maybe a day or so ago, is some of these things I just give out for free because I know I've been there. I tell people that I'm not a theorist. I'm a practitioner. I've lived it and breathed it. And I continue working with all these clients to understand what that competitive landscape is in job transition, because it is competitive and it's more competitive now than it was just 3 months ago. But with a great plan and an action and that one-on-one coaching where in those discussions, it's accountability both ways, because I take away action items, that person takes action items away. And then more importantly, we give an update the next time where we're at. And I also check in with them each week to say, hey, how's your week going, right? Because again, like a coach, you need kind of that person that's going to rub your shoulders and give you the confidence to, you know, take another hit when, you know, Thursday, it just doesn't feel like I can give anymore.
Oh, that's so true. And knowing that you're going to connect with them during the week, that accountability, I know I thrive in accountability as well. Going back to the client, one of the things that I noticed that you recommend whatever industry that you want to maybe have your next career in to go and network with in that arena. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that people tend to struggle with initially in networking, looking for a job, is two things. Their ask, you know, how can I help you? which is a big miss when I started my first transition. And then your value proposition. And I state your value proposition versus the elevator pitch. I tell people the elevator pitch is so 2016 because it really kind of regurgitates everything that you've done. And you're forcing a listener to really try to figure out, well, how does that relate to me or somebody that I may know that needs your services, versus having a few of those value propositions that, based on the first couple of discussion points, you know which one you're going to lead with. So here's the example. You know, I'm sure you've heard these elevator pitches, and they last more than a minute. Where, you know, I'm a chief operating officer with 25 years experience, blah blah blah. Well, I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher, like everybody else, as opposed to starting off the conversation when people say, "Tell me about yourself." I tell them, I'm an executive that take flats of declining companies, and I turn them around on the top and the bottom line while injecting a more equally accountable work culture. Do you know anybody that needs anybody like that? Well, if you're in operations and supply chain the last 15 plus years, the top, the bottom line, and the culture are all the things that are challenging the businesses. Then the listener says, you know, I do know somebody that needs help with their profitability, their bottom line. Tell me more. You've reeled them in. And I always tell people, it's a taste of the cake. It's not the ingredients, because you want them to call back for the ingredients.
Oh, I love that analogy. I love that. Because sometimes we want to just give them the whole cake and they can't digest it all. Can I just have a piece at a time? So what are some of the mistakes that people make on their resumes?
Well, first of all, I tell people is that, you know, and I see this a lot of times, and it's what we've known or what we've heard. We lead with a resume. I always tell people, if you've got a great connection and you've developed a good network, your resume is an afterthought. It's just to check the box, right? But I think what happens is that people try to fix everything in, so then people don't even have to call you back, right? You want to give just enough information that says it's meaningful, it's relatable, and it's basically going to help my company. Now I need to call George back to find out how he can do that.
I have this quote here. I thought it was interesting. It says, job interviews are like a first date. Good impressions count, awkwardness can occur, and outcomes are unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And so in this day and age, does anybody go back and do one-on-one in-person interviews, or is everything done just digitally?
No, I think that the whole networking process is a gold mine. And I realized this, you know, after a couple of months in job transition, was that enough people in the organization that you're really interested in know of you, they're going to speak of you, right? It's kind of like the cheerleaders in the workforce. So when an opportunity comes up, for my example, an operations supply chain executive or leader, the first person they're going to say is, hey, you know, I talked to George. Oh, you talked to George? I know George too. I think he probably would be a great person for this particular role. And then you pretty much have already developed somewhat of a relationship, versus the whole resume is cold. I got to try to feel you out in 30 minutes or less in this interview. And then more importantly, after we have had a struggles during the first 90 days or first year, can I go, you know, to lunch after this person and still work with them?
I agree with you. I think the relationship is one of the most powerful things that you can create, because it's a trust level. And I think when you can see someone face to face, look in their eyes, you know what you're getting, you know, with that first impression. And it is so great that we can get around now and go to these networking events and meet different people and build that relationship, so we can open doors either for ourselves or for others. I love to be the connector, like, oh, you need to meet that person. And I think that helps people as well. You also have workshops and programs. Tell us about your Ignite?
Yeah. So first, I have a free webinar every other Saturday. It's for people in job transition. It's kind of kickoff to job search. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. And it goes over the high level and maybe the next level below to get people started, whether they just started a job search or whether maybe they've been in a couple of months and they're really frustrated. And the feedback I've gotten is really, really powerful. One of the ladies had stated that, you know, I bought your book, George, and I wish I bought it 3 months ago because I paid out of pocket $15,000 of my own money for an outplacement firm, of which your book, you know, basically told me everything and then some. And then the other one is recently for Ignite, Engage, Retain. It's for the leaders that are trying to prevent their talent from leaving. How do I inspire? How do I engage? So there's five programs that are outlined right out of the book. Each one of them are probably about an hour to 2 hour in length. And I've worked with a lot of organizations to really help, you know, how do I create a culture of trust? How do I create a culture of engagement? And so those programs are actually, I think I posted on my LinkedIn profile this morning and outlined those.
So it's called Ignite. Tell me the name again.
Yeah, Ignite, Engage, Retain. So how do you ignite a workforce? How do you engage your team, even in a hybrid sense? And more importantly, how do I retain my talent? And interestingly, these same companies that are now laying off were complaining 3 or 4 months ago about how they could recruit and retain. Well, as I point out in my second book, Ignite, Engage, Retain, the culture is the shadow the leader casts. And so obviously leading up to this layoff, people had already felt that their culture wasn't secure. And so for that reason, that's why they had a lot of turnover.
So do you find it hard to awaken a leader to the fact that they maybe have to own that lack of culture? Do they want to personally grow as a leader?
Well, yeah, there's definitely, in the book I outlined, there's a difference between a manager and a leader. Mm-hmm. A leader's responsibility is to self-reflect and say, how can I do better? Taking input and criticism and making adjustments accordingly. A leader's responsibility, and it's what I tell people, is that there's 9 types of leadership style. And I'm sure you've been in interviews where people are like, well, what kind of leader are you? And my response is quite different. I always ask the question with a question, what type of leader do you need? And they kind of look at me with a head cocked. And I said, well, depending on the situation, you may need all 9 of those leaders. And it may be all 9 of those leaders in one day or 1 hour. But a true leader understands what to do and what to select for. Then I also preference my responses as I'm a servant leader. I know it's definitely a common word now the last 5 or 6 years, but it is the oldest type of leadership style because the good Lord has created a servant leadership long before any other leadership was. And I learned that leadership in military. So I tell people, my definition of a servant leader is to help lift others. And more importantly, your responsibility is to remove roadblocks for others to be successful, because when they are, you are, and the organization is. So to your point, the true leaders that are willing to self-reflect and open to learning are the ones that are even more successful going forward.
I'm so glad that you shared that, particularly about the servant leadership, because there's so many, you know, different styles of leadership, like you pointed out. But if you don't have the heart to serve your people, it's almost like the others don't connect. To me, it's like the servant leader is the foundation, because then your heart is in a different place. You have a different mindset. It's not about just you being successful. It's serving others so they could rise up and be successful and become leaders themselves. You know, I think that's our job as leaders, to make other leaders, to create that effect. So, and I'm sure coming from the military experience, you have so much valuable knowledge and insight to share with these leaders.
Yeah, I think to your earlier comment, some of the things that leaders have to learn is maybe to be more humble and to be more self-critical versus critical of others.
That it can be very tricky, can it?
Yes.
That could be tricky. You know, if we just, yeah, that criticism, that's a hard one. And I think we have to acknowledge that we're being critical, and sometimes it's a blind spot. So how do you Now that I've said that, how do you help a leader see his blind spots?
Well, I always tell people is that, and this actually goes back into also the first book of Hired, is that, you know, we live in a society now that we listen to respond and not truly listen. So as a leader, sometimes, and this is what I've learned that I continue to learn, I'm not an expert at it by no means, but willing always to learn, is that when you want to speak the most, it's probably the best time for you to actually pause and listen, or at least self-reflect. And this is one of the biggest challenges I see leaders having is that, you know, what, you know, and I'm sure you've heard it many times, leaders come in and say, we're going to make this decision, we're going to do this direction, and we're going to do this. Now I want to hear your input, right? And then it all shuts down, right? As opposed to being the last to speak. Collectively, if you've really developed a great team, they've got the answer in them. And you've got to be able to turn around and just tweak it a bit so everybody understands it, believes it, and supports it.
That is so great, because I've just visually, I was just seeing the garage door going down. When the leader starts off like that, there's no open door. There's no possibility to hear a different thought or idea, because you tend to think, well, if the leader says we're doing this, then really, what could I add, you know, to that? I saw this quote the other day, and I hope I say it right, but basically, you don't hire smart people so you can tell them what to do. You hire smart people so they can tell you how to do it.
Absolutely. And I try to do that a lot is I like people that have a different perspective and not only mine. Because again, you're not going to get there fast enough and efficiently enough if you're always kind of pulling the team. And of course, you're going to be exhausted too, right? And I've created that at least in the last three organizations. I've always had people step up and say, you know what, George, I understand where you want to go, but have you considered this, this, and this? And I said, you know what? I haven't. And I really appreciate your feedback. And more times than not, we're following their direction than mine.
That's great. So I have this question for you. A lot of people are always looking for their dream job, and I don't see anything wrong with that, because we want to be happy in what we're doing. So how do you help someone who comes to you and says, you know, George, I want to find my dream job, but I'm not quite sure what it is. Like, how do you help them process that?
Well, you know, first of all, you got to be happy with yourself. And a lot of times I find people chasing happiness versus being happy, right? And I certainly that in my first job transition. You know, I had an expectation and I had a thought and belief that if I got here or I did this, I would be finally happy. And what I realized through that job transition, it was very sombering that said, happiness first has to start with myself. And given the fact that even though there's still more commitment to an employee to an employer versus the employer to an employee, people have to realize is that a lifetime now is probably 5 to 7 years, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can find an opportunity in a company that can not only give you initially a great opportunity, but over that period of time, develop the structure and learning capabilities of both to make the business successful as well as in themselves, that they can move up 2 or 3 times, that I believe is an overall success. Gone are the days that an employee will come in and give 20 years. I mean, it's just unheard of. And I highly respect those people who do, because I can't imagine, I could imagine some of their less desirable leaders that they have actually spent at least a little bit of time and maybe just, outlasted them.
You're right about that. Not very many people stay that long in their jobs. They're always pursuing another, not just a goal, but maybe a passion, maybe an area they want to grow in. So they embrace change, they embrace the challenge. And so that looks okay on a resume if you have like different job experiences, like within 5 or 6 years, that's okay.
I agree. I mean, I think people have to find an opportunity within, you know, staying within 4 to 7 years is kind of optimal. I think what's detrimental that I found a lot of folks in job transition is that they are in one company, good for them for 25 years. However, it's a struggle for them when they're out, because the first time I ask them, I say, well, how many people do you know out of X company? And it's a big goose egg. Well, that's a challenge in your networking. So as an earlier friend that I met in job transition told me, he says, George, I'm going to relate it to something that you know very well, running. He says, the marathon started 2 hours ago and you've got 2 hours to complete it. So you've got to catch up.
Ah, that is so good. That is, I love that. That is great. And know what I really appreciate about you, George, is you've been there. You understand the frustration. You understand the shock maybe of losing your job. And this is what I love about having people come on the podcast, because they've been in that place. And out of that struggle and out of that pain, they've created a program. They've created something to help others because they know and they understand the pain and the struggle. So in closing today, I want you to think about the person who may be listening, who's just feeling defeated. Recently, they've lost their job. It's just an explosion going on in their mind and nothing looks clear. How would you encourage them right now and share anything else that you would like about your program?
Well, first, I always tell people is that you're probably frustrated because you're doing a lot of things, but they're not of the right value or the right direction. So I always tell people is that it's probably a good time, even though I understand that you've been out maybe 3-7 months or whatever, take a day off, get away from everything, go out for a walk around the lake or whatever, and really, you know, just get all these feelings out and talk to somebody first and get it all out. But then the next day, let's outline the steps that we can get back to you healthy one, right? And part of the process I incorporate in my book and my programs for people in job transition is it's holistic. So in my first job transition, after 3 months of being frustrated about this whole process, I looked in the mirror and said, okay, I can't control if I'm going to be hired today or tomorrow, but I'm going to focus on the things that I can control. And we list those out. The other thing too, I tell people is part of this whole process, it's a true transformation. So look in the mirror. There might be things that you want to focus on. Like for me, I focused on, you know, I wasn't eating well and I wasn't sleeping well and I wasn't eating, you know, and all I wasn't exercising. So I was the heaviest I had ever been in my life. But in 7 months, starting off small, I got to walking, to awkwardly jogging and running, and I dropped 42 pounds in my first job transition. And of course, that's going to help with your energy, your enthusiasm, all those things, and your confidence. So this whole program is holistic. It's not just to get you a job, but it's also to help you be a better version of yourself. And we all want to be better.
Oh, we absolutely do. And I'm still in awe that you lost 40 pounds. That's, and you're still running. Obviously, you found a new passion for your life.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Sometimes, like when a door closes, it could be like the worst thing that happens, but then you discover more things about yourself that you never knew was in there, because maybe we're too focused on the other thing that we're doing. So sometimes we can be grateful for a door that closes, because it's a new discovery for a new season and a new passion, and to find the very thing that you love to do. Go ahead.
In the last 5 years, I've helped over a couple of thousand folks. And I can tell you, honestly, everyone, even though that they felt some low points in their life, probably the lowest, they have all moved on to something better than they had prior to this situation. Better. It definitely, at that time, does not feel like it, but they've always moved on to something better. And that's the thing that I always encourage people, is that even though these are dark days and these are trying times, you will get something better.
I think that is so encouraging. And I have this quote, and now thinking of you as a runner and the analogy with the marathon, to help those that are listening, the finish line is just the beginning of a whole new race. So to be encouraged to know that there is another race for you to run, you're not done. There may be hurdles and obstacles in your way, but there's someone who can help you, and that's George. I highly recommend that you reach out to George. George, how do people find out about your webinars? Do they go to your website?
They can actually reach out to me directly, George C, as in Charlie Murray, all one word, at gmail.com. They can call me at 952-221-8868, or they can visit my website at George Clayston Murray, C-L-A-Y-S-T-I-N Murray, all one word, .com. And my books are there as well.
Oh, yes. And your books are on Audible, Kindle, and Amazon. Highly yes. recommend that you get George's books because they sound so empowering. And I think everyone should just have this book in your home because you just never know when you may be in that position where you need to be hired. You need to be reignited. You need to change your leadership. And George, I can't thank you enough for coming on today because you brought so much value to the audience. And my prayer is that those that are in need right now of a change, they're in that transition time with their career, that they reach out to you because I could hear your heart. I could see your passion and the value that you bring to your clients that come. And of course, the success stories for every person that has come, that they have found what they're supposed to do next with their life. And so everyone, share this episode. You must know someone who is in this position and reach out, share the episode to help others. And I want to thank you all for coming each and every week. We are the Transition Tribe, where we come together each week to grow, embrace, and be transformed by the purpose and power of our transitions.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge Podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to DebbieRonca.com. That's DebbieRonca.com.